We have been looking in Luke at the various instances of Christ in prayer, and we've covered 9 of them so far, and we come now to the verse 46 of Luke chapter 23. This breaks in on the description of the crucifixion scene, and we read, when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. That's what I get for reading 2 verses at once. But he cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. This raises a subject that, whether you like it or not, every one of us has to think about. And that is how we're going to die. The Roman Catholic Church has a prayer that it has people praying to the Virgin Mary about the hour of their death. And of course, they have it really as a mantra. And this magic little quotation, keep on saying it to Mary, is going to somehow help them now and in the hour of their death. But that's a perversion. But it ought not to hide from us the reality that lies behind the perversion. We don't pray to Mary. We pray to our Father which is in heaven. But it is a good thing to remember that when we come to die, we want to be able to do as the Savior did and be in contact with God. Now that opens up various lines of thought that you might want to give some particular meditation to. Don't mean this to be morbid, but it is sensible. The Lord Jesus, on the point of death, had access to God. Now remember, he had gone through hours of darkness. He had felt himself forsaken of God because he was bearing our sin. While it's not in this passage, he did cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So he had gone through hours of darkness. He had gone through unspeakable physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual agony. He did not have an easy death. In fact, the most difficult conceivable death for any man to have. And yet, as he's on the point of dying, he is aware that he has access to God. Not only so, but at the end, and coming right up to those critical moments, the Lord Jesus had a felt sense of the Father's presence. So that in the hour of his death, he could confidently pray and without a shadow of doubt could resign his soul to the hand of the Father. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. Now in this the Lord Jesus is very, very clearly an example and a standard for all of us. We will not die the death that he died. We will not suffer the sufferings that he endured. We will not face the opposition that he experienced. But nonetheless, unless the Lord comes in our lifetime, we will die. And therefore, we need to be in this position that we have access to God. Now, obviously, the only way to be sure that you can enjoy access to God at the end of life, the only way to be sure that at the very end there is a felt sense of the presence of God is to live your life cultivating the presence of God. To live your life enjoying the nearness of the Lord. In other words, if you want to have access to God in the hour of your death, you need to live your life so that you're enjoying and actually employing access to God. In other words, to put it yet another way, if you want to die right, you've got to live right. It's as simple as that. If you want the comfort of God with you in the hour of your extremity, then you need to have the comfort of God with you in the hours of everyday life. It is a capital mistake for people to live as if they could do without the consolations of God, and yet when they come to die, they want to have the sweetest and the most powerful of God's consolations. It very, very rarely works that way. Very rarely works that way. The Lord Jesus died despised of men, forsaken of men. His friends gathered, at least some of them, at the foot of the cross and weeping. Peter somewhere away in the outskirts of the crowd, not even with the rest. Forsaken of men, but yet he can get through to God. When I read of the deaths of the great saints of God in Scripture, as like Moses' death, I often pray, Lord, let me die like that. Do you remember the words of Balaam? The rotten, worldly, money-grubbing, time-serving, apostate, a wicked, lecherous, scheming, vicious man. But what did he say? Let me die the death of the righteous. Let my last end be like his. Let me die the death of the righteous. The trouble with Balaam was he wanted to live the life of a sinner and die the death of the righteous. Now, there's a lot of hypocrites want to do that. But there are many people who are saved, and they're not living the way they want to die. Now, that's a very good rule of thumb. It's a very simple, well, you want to put it, a test as to how we're living. How ought we to live? We ought to live the way we would want to be living if today we were going to die. That's how you ought to live. How ought I to be praying? How ought I to be seeking the Lord? I ought to be praying the way I would be praying if I knew today I were going out to meet the Lord. What would be more important to me? To seek the Lord's face, to enter into the Lord's presence, to make use of the Lord's promises. As I've used the phrase, and it's certainly not original to me, cultivating the Lord's presence. By that is meant doing the things that the Bible sets before us that will lead us into the Lord's presence, that will make the Lord's presence real to us. How ought I to live? I ought to live cultivating the Lord's presence as I would hope to enjoy the Lord's presence as I go to die. Jesus could say, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He could pray with confidence in the presence of God, that bond with the Father's heart. Why? Because that's how he lived. And in this, he is our example. Now take it as a prayer that you ought to pray, not just live generally to enjoy God's presence, but this is a prayer I very often pray. Not these words particularly, because obviously they are words to be used at the point of dissolution, but arising from them. I mentioned the perversion of Rome and how they pray to Mary along these lines. I think it's a very good thing for God's people to come before the Lord and pray that the Lord will be with me today, sustain me today, and be with me and sustain me in the hour of my death. I don't want to be unnecessarily bleak, but I am perturbed when I go to dying Christians, and the nearer they get to death, the more blank they are spiritually. Now, sometimes that can be the result of drugs. Sometimes it can be just the result of overwhelming pain. And they're so bemused by drugs, they're not really themselves. And I would not say a word to hurt the testimony of any of those people. But there are other people, and they cannot get through to God. And they cannot feel God's presence. And they cannot enjoy God's promise. You have found this, no doubt. I have found it. There have been times in your life when you've hit a crisis. You've hit a time of trouble. And like Saul, you had not made your prayer unto the Lord. And you couldn't get through. Have you ever had a more desolate feeling? Now multiply that a million times. Tell me, is that how you would ever want to quit this world and go out into eternity? It's not a matter of courage, you know. It's not a matter of big brave of people being willing to face life and trouble and death and eternity. No, no. It's a matter of knowing the presence of God. I personally, with fair regularity, make this a prayer. Lord, be with me now. And be with me in the hour of my death. And I pray to God with fair constancy that the Lord at that time will let me feel, not just have a statement of Scripture that says it's true. That's the objective basis on which my feelings must be based. But I want to feel it in my heart. I want to feel the Lord's presence. I want to know the Lord's presence. I want to be assured by the Lord's presence. I don't want to face death without the reality of the nearness of the risen Christ and without being able to lift my heart to Him in prayer. I have been with people when they're facing the last enemy and they hadn't the physical strength to utter a word. They could hardly open and close their lips, but it was obvious they were in touch with God and God was in touch with them. That's the way to be. Jesus prayed at the hour of his death. What an assurance it is to be able to say, I commend my spirit into the hand of God, into a Father's hand. You know, that is the ultimate statement of confidence. That's the ultimate statement. I know whom I have believed. I know that I have not lived in vain. I know that my death is not a failure. I know that my eternity is certain. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. Now, I think that we all want to die with that assurance. Let me come full circle. If that's the case, then we must live in that assurance. Now then, take one step away from that and look at it. If that's the way I want to die, therefore that's the way I want to live. Therefore, I've got to deal with the things that hinder me living the way I ought to live in order to die the way I want to die. It's as simple as that. I've got to deal with those things. There's nothing more immediately practical than a Christian's prayer life. I said last week that everything and anything is good enough to stop us from praying. And we feel that. The devil will use things, the flesh will use things, the world will use things. Look, there's nothing more immediately practical than this whole matter of maintaining a close fellowship with the Lord in prayer. It's not easy. We read the stories of somebody like George Mueller, and The fact that Mueller could talk to the Lord the way he was talking to a person right beside him in just conversational tone and apparently just get immediate answers. Personally, I'm not sure that that's the whole picture. I have nothing to base this on except experience. But I'm not at all sure that's the whole picture. I think when we get to heaven, when we get to know the whole story of George Mueller, I think we find that there's a whole dimension to Mueller and to the depths of his soul encounter with God that biographers have never been able to lay hold of. Maybe I'm wrong there. Time will tell. But even if I were wrong there, that would be the exception that proves the rule. Because when you read of the other great men of prayer, there were deep agonies in prayer. There was a dark side to their experience as well as the light and blithesome side. For every positive, a negative. For every mountain, a valley. That's what normally has been found. Prayer is not easy. Why? Because it is fellowship with God. And therefore it is potentially the most powerful, the most telling, the most productive thing that a Christian can do. Now, do you think the devil doesn't understand that? Certainly he does. It's why he attacks Christians at that very point. So it's at that point where we're under most attack that we've got to give the closest attention, that nothing comes between us and the Lord. And again, how do we do that? Well, I'm going to die. I don't know when, but I'll tell you this, it'll come a whole lot sooner than you think. It always does. I'm going to die. I could go out to meet God before midnight strikes tonight. And if in that moment I want to be in touch with him, then let me live in touch with him today, right now. So this final prayer of the Savior on the cross is one that encourages us, but it's one that challenges us. One that tells us that what was true of our living head, what's true of our Savior, can be also true of us. But it does challenge us. It does cut away at our sin. It does point the finger at the things that we allow to come between us and the Lord. And it points us in the direction we ought to be going. It is pleading with us. While you're in time, start living right. Start praying right. Now let me use this one last way. I told my wife and the others at home that I was so tired today, I was going to be brief, and I got a great deal of encouragement. My wife said, when you have nothing to say, you always say far more. You meander all over. Well, with other such loving wifely remarks, I came greatly bolstered in confidence. So I will close with one final idea. Keep this in mind. I said I didn't mean to be morbid. Because let me tell you, there's an awful lot of Christians running around looking for grace to die, and they don't need grace to die, they need grace to live. And so my purpose has not been to have you anticipate the grace that is necessary to die. My purpose has been that you have the grace to live so that when you come to the end of life, you'll have grace for that as well. So you're here, and I don't think at the moment that you think you're dying. But the point that you've got to grasp here is, if in the last extremity, if with death staring you in the face, you have access to God and he is still your Father, and you have the absolute assurance that he's got you in his hand, if that's true in that last extremity, then what is there in all of life that should destroy our confidence in our God? What are we facing tonight that God can't deal with? What is it that we can't bring to Him? Doesn't matter what it is. Whatever we're dealing with in a scale of things, or a scale of difficulty, falls short of the last great enemy of death. So whatever it is we're dealing with is, if I could use the words, it is easier than dying. Sometimes it mightn't feel like that, but that's just because you've never had to die yet. It is easier than dying. So if the Lord's example here tells us there is grace, there is strength, there is confidence, there is assurance, there is access to God, there is the undergirding of the arms of the Almighty to sweep you through even in death, then all those things are available to us in life. There is no difficulty that poses any problem to the Lord. There is no danger when He's in control. There's nothing unexpected. There's nothing going to take Him by surprise. There's nothing going to overcome His purpose. We can commend ourselves to Him. You know, wouldn't that be how to live in peace? You get so many Christians, and you know we're all like this. It's not me sitting away up here in this lofty perch looking down on you poor peons that feel these things. We all feel them. You get worried. You get all stirred up. You get all depressed. I told you about the woman years ago who said to me, "I wish I was like you." I said, "Dear, you haven't a clue what you're asking for." She said, "Oh, it would be great." You are never depressed. And you want to ask my wife about that one. We all face that. Times when you feel you can't go another step. How do you face those things? Lord, I place myself in the hands of an all-wise, all-good, all-powerful Heavenly Father. I commend myself to You. And if you live in the consciousness that you're in your Father's hand, that hand is holding you. That hand is upholding you. That hand is leading you. That hand is feeding you. Then you'll live in peace. Then you'll live in the assurance of His presence. Then you'll live with access to Him. You'll live in the enjoyment of prayer. You'll live in Christian victory. Into Thy hands I commend my spirit. I trust tonight that as we have looked very simply and very briefly over these last number of weeks at the Savior in prayer, just as we have watched Him praying under all different kinds of circumstances, rather than just taking His lessons to us about prayer, seeing Him Himself pray right up to the end, I trust we will learn to be a people of prayer. And wouldn't it be good? Wouldn't it be good? Wouldn't it be the testimony you would want recorded in heaven regarding yourself? It's not going to be in Luke's gospel, but in the books of God. Wouldn't it be good if the Lord had the diary of your life? Save then, constant in prayer, right up to the end, even as he's expiring, he's still praying, still in contact with God. Would that not be the testimony you want? That's the testimony we can have. When the scripture says, pray without ceasing, doesn't mean that you can be on your knees 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But it means to keep the avenue of communication open with God. And even to the end of your life, let nothing stop you from praying. May God give us that testimony of constancy, persistency in the place of prayer. Because I tell you this, there is no place in all our lives where we need more to be like Christ than to be like Christ as He was in the place of prayer. And I think personally, and I true of me more than anybody, that if I could be more like Christ, the man of prayer, I'd be more like Christ in his love for God. I'd be more like Christ in his love for sinners. I'd be more like Christ in his power over Satan. I'd be more like Christ in his ability to minister the word. I'd be more like Christ in the success of drawing in the gospel net and seeing people saved. If only I were more like Christ in the place of prayer, I'd be more like Christ everywhere else. May God give us that desire and fulfill it right to the end, that we will be like the Savior with confident access and assurance, coming and getting through to God.